Welcome to the Room for Recap, the heartbeat of the faith and family film industry. I'm Laura May, your host and industry insider from Christian Casting. I am thrilled to bring you the ultimate weekly experience that goes beyond the screen. This is not just a podcast. It's a movement, a community, and a celebration of the incredible stories shaping our faith-based film world. We are so excited you're here. Are you ready to jump in? Let's go. Hi, my name is Laura May, and I am the founder of Christian Casting and the Room 4 app. I am a wife, mom of nine, casting director, producer, actress, and writer from Southern Maryland.
Hello, my name is Xavier Garcia, writer-director based north of Boston, and excited to get into all things cinema and story.
Hi, I'm Drew Hunt. I'm a wife, a mom of four, an actor, a content creator, and I am so excited to be spending this time here with you.
Hey guys, I'm Keys, and I'm a mom to three amazing kids. I'm a writer, an actor, a radio host, and a Room 4 intern. I'm excited to be on this journey with you. I am all in.
So, what is the Room 4 recap? Here's what you'll find as you come along on this journey. We are your backstage pass to the latest in faith and family films with upcoming news, compelling interviews with industry leaders, exciting opportunities for exclusive giveaways, free festival passes to VIP access at industry events, and more. This isn't just news. It's an invitation to be a part of something extraordinary. We are not just observers here. We are participants in the Room 4 movement, and we want to invite you to join us. All right. Well, here we are with another episode of the Room 4 Recap. And I'm pumped about what we're talking about today because it is one of my deepest struggles. I'm just going to be honest.
So, word.
We are going today to be talking about excellence, but a really important subtitle that I wanted to throw in there because I think it's so important is finding our balance within excellence. Drew, I remember talking to you in the initial process, right? When we were interviewing interns and you're like, I'm such a perfectionist that sometimes I drive myself crazy. And so that, along with some things in my own life, and I know Xavier, you have talked about, you know, with a film festival prepping this project that we're working on right now, you're like, there was so much that I was like, oh, and I could this and I could that, but I just gotta submit it. Like, yep. I'm confident in what God has given me. Keys, you are graduating soon, girl. Listen, I'm sure that there are times that with excellence in school, you're like, I'm a mom too. So let's talk today about just what excellence means to us and what it means as we balance that with the families that the Father has given us. So I'm super excited for today. What about you guys?
Yes.
This is a tough topic. Because excellence in the film industry and even in just in the arts and in creative, and then balance like that, that's a hard thing. This is, this industry is one of the most competitive, right? And competitive is, I mean, consider, for example, like if you're an actor and you're trying to quote unquote break in, whether it's Hollywood or the faith-based industry, there are a lot of actors that are also trying to break in. And so if you're, and this is tough, this is like a personal gripe that I have, you know, if you genuinely feel like you're called to this, then it's part of your excellence to put in the work, all of the essential work to being excellent at it. And that requires a lot of time. So now if we're going to start talking about balance, well, what exactly are we balancing? Because again, I feel like for something like this, before you even, if you're considering getting into the film industry, you're considering getting into, you know, whether it's literally into filmmaking or whatever, you know, in the creative arts or even music and whatnot, obviously you have to count the costs. You know, like you got to consider what it's going to cost you, but you got to know the end result. Just like in screenwriting, it's hard, it's almost impossible to write away from something, but you could always write towards something. So if you've got your closing scene, You know what you're, you know, what you're headed toward, then it's easy to write toward that. It's easy to work toward that. So, you know, I guess I'm using your closing scene as a replacement for like goals, right? Like you got to know what that end goal is. What is that desire? What does that look like? How do you see yourself in the industry and how often, you know, and how do you see functioning in it? Like, what does your day-to-day life look like? And just like, it's important to map that out because then you'll work toward that. And that I guess is where you can actually genuinely balance. Because if you see yourself like, oh, occasionally, like, I just want to do a couple of things here. I just want to do commercials, or I just want to make it a hobby, then you can balance what it takes to get to that end goal. But if you're like, no, I want to be in every single Kendrick Brother movie that's ever made. I want to be, you know, like, I want to be in every Irwin Brother movie. I want to be, you know, like, I want to be the star in the next, you know,
Garcia Brothers
Alejandro
movie.
Monteverde. Yeah, the next Garcia Brothers film. Like, if I, then the balance in that situation is going to look completely different. You know, and I think people think, especially in the faith-based industry, they're like, oh, balance means that I can't, you know, like the moment that I start suffering as a result of the work that I'm doing, like I've gone now down the wrong path. Like I'm not balancing it right, you know, because I shouldn't be suffering because I'm doing this for a greater calling and I'm not called to, you know, and everything should be a bed of roses. Like, no, that's not it at all. That's not balance. That's just you wanting to have your cake and eat it too. So, you know, I don't know. I think I'll pause there because then I'll just jump on my soapbox and just start, like, you know, berating people like, put in the work, put in the work.
Well, it sounds like what you're saying is like, it's like Stephen Covey says, begin with the end in mind. And I think that's a great, that's such a great strategy for anything, Xavier, which I think is what you were saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's very true. I love the idea too, and I think we've touched on this before, just because you're called here doesn't mean that like you're about to go down the trail of put in the work. And I agree with you on that. Like, God's still, he's a God of process and excellence. And that's why we want to follow that, right? And so he calls you to put in the work. It's all through scripture. You know, he's molding and shaping you along the way. He loves you too much to just take you and drop you into, you know, I don't know, like Meryl Streep's career at 20 years old. You know what I mean? Like, you, there's refining that we have to allow him, you know, to do in us, through us, in our hearts. It all starts with the heart. Right.
Bingo. The refining process. I think a lot of people will jump into the industry and they'll think, you know, it's going to be success upon success upon success. And the moment that I start to feel suffering, or I start to feel loss or failure or hurt or pains or any, like, I'm not balancing right, or I'm going down the wrong path. But it's like, if you ever look at anyone who's ever accomplished anything throughout biblical history, or let's just look at the, you know, the fathers of the faith, every single one of them went through tremendous suffering, tremendous pain, tremendous loss, just so that they could be built up to becoming that that person that could be used. And so, like, if you are getting into the industry, there's a lot of sacrifice that has to be made, especially if you're looking at the end goal and you're like, okay, what do I need to do to become that person? For a lot of us, you're gonna lose friends. You're gonna lose a lot of some of the fun things that you think. It's like, oh, you know, I'm just going to take this day off. And it's like, should you, if your goals that have been established are like, you know, let's go with the extreme. It's that person that's going to be in everybody's, you know, film. It's like, well, okay, then if that's the case, then what are you doing toward that every day, every single day? Because the moment that you're, and it's okay for our hearts to plan our course. It's okay for us to have that and plan that, because at the end of the day, it's not like by you planning it, you're now pushing God out of his ability to order the steps. You know, he's like, he's going to order the steps. He's in control no matter what, no matter how much control you think you're in, he's in control. And so go for the established, like, order, like, let your heart have a blast with how you plan this out. and just trust that as you're prayerfully walking this thing, that, you know, that he's going to order those steps, and that, you know, you aim for whatever that end result is. Mm.
I'm so glad you said that. That's something I wrestle with all the time. You know, I had a friend say to me years ago, well, if you really trust God, then you don't need to set goals. Like, she thought goal setting was like, you know, wrong. And so I think you're so right, Xavier. You aim the ship at a direction. Well, I think it starts with prayer, right? Like Keys, you talk about so beautifully in one of your first blogs, start everything with prayer. And Lord, give me the desire of your heart. Mm-hmm. And then, okay, I'm gonna absorb that and then try to aim my ship in that direction and try to set some goals to be intentional with my time and, you know, like you said, Xavier, you know, like consistency, but being open-handed with it too. And knowing, like you said, God is in control, but he's not controlling. Right. He does give us the ability to think and make decisions. And so kind of figuring out where that all melds and comes together is always a process for me.
Yeah. Look, you said like aiming the ship, right? Aim and the process of aiming and just like having a target to aim. We all know what the definition of sin is, right? It's like missing the mark. You have a target and you miss the mark. You either sin left or you sin right. Right. Yeah. And so it's like without aim.
Yeah. And without a vision, the people perish.
That exactly. Right. So, I mean, I don't know. I feel like, go ahead, Laura. You're gonna bring another perspective. This is great, though. No, this is what discussion's about.
Okay. Well, based on what you guys said, a couple of verses come to mind. One of them is that we are supposed to commit our plans to the Lord, which means that we're supposed to have plans. Like you can't commit something you don't have. And then the other thing that kept running through my brain is actually part of Key's testimony. And so I'll just toss it to her that if she wanted to share. Could, and if she didn't, you know, then that's cool. But I'm telling you, this gal has a super inspirational story about like grit and looking at a situation and going, I could take this path, but I'm not going to. And whether I have support or not, and whether I have resources or not, this is what I'm going to do, because this is the direction that will help me succeed and build and grow. And I just, goodness, I love her story. So I don't, Keys, is that something that you want to share? If not, it's just going to be like a major cliffhanger.
You think it's relevant to this, then I will. Yeah.
Do you know what story I'm talking about with the family and like the, you know? Okay. So girl, I'm going to throw it to you for a second, because I don't think Xavier knows this story, and I don't think that Drew knows this story. And with you coming up on graduation soon, girl, I think that your story could apply across the board in so many different directions, no matter where people are in life. So go ahead.
Yeah, I think about, I guess it kind of goes in living a life of excellence. I was married, I got divorced, and I was just alone with my three kids. And I could have lived with my grandparents out in the middle of nowhere. They live in a town called Heflin, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And it's just, there's nothing there. There's no bus system. There's nothing. I didn't have a car. I didn't have a job. I didn't have anything. And my grandparents did offer me to live with them and stay there. And I could, you know, kind of, they said, you can just get on food stamps. You can just wait till the kids get older and get in school, and then you can get a job. And I just saw myself sitting in that house in front of the TV, watching soap operas or something and eating, and my kids just running around watching me do that. And I was like, I can't let them grow up seeing me live that way. What are they going to think about their lives, like about excellence, about work, about hard work? And so I chose to be homeless, and I just had them drop me off in the city at the Salvation Army so that I could get on the bus. And we would, they were so little, they were like stair steps, like 1, 3, and 4. And the bus drivers would let them get on the bus for free. And so I could go, and we'd go to a library. I'd apply for jobs. They get too loud a little bit, and we get kicked out. So we go to a different library, and then I'd apply for some more jobs, and then we go to a different one. And we just did that all day long. And when you lived at Salvation Army, you had to be gone if you didn't have a job during the week from 8:30 to 4. So we just find places to go, and then we'd come back and eat dinner there. But that was my life, and I was able to apply for jobs while I was there. And eventually I got a job at Walmart, and then eventually, but I just kept going. I was like, okay, I'm at Walmart, but that's not the end goal, right? That's mm-hmm. not like the job I want forever. So I just kept applying for other things because I had a bachelor's degree already. And so it was just continuing to do that. Like, my kids saw me working, like, we're not giving up. It doesn't matter that I did not expect to be here on my journey in life and what I was trying to go towards, but this is where we are, and we're going to fight to have a good life, you know? And so now, coming up soon, I'm going to be graduating finally with my master's 20 years later. I decided to get an MBA, but I just always want my kids to know that it doesn't matter what happens. Like, you keep going towards your goal. You don't just sit in defeat. Like, you can get up, you can go. And what that has to do with me, it reminds me of habits, you know, because there are certain habits that I've had to give up, especially even in doing this. Like, I love binge watching TV. Like, and I knew that. That's why I didn't want to live with my grandparents. Because I could sit there all day long and watch a show, okay? But I was like, I can't do that. Because if I do that, then I'm doing nothing. Nothing gets done. I love watching other people be creative, but it's like, then I'm not being creative. Then I'm not doing something. So even in doing this, I've had to go, okay, tonight I can't just sit and watch Psych for the 1,000th time. I got to get up. And, you know, I need to do my research. I need to do my writing. I need to do whatever. And so even in excellence and balance, you have to rest. I think rest should be a part of it and take your breaks. But you got to recognize within yourself, oh, okay, I'm just trying to do nothing right now. And I need to keep going towards that goal. So
mm-hmm. Y'all see why I am so excited that she shared that story.
Oh yeah. My and
right
gosh.
Now she's sitting in a brand new house.
That's right.
So there's a happy ending, guys.
Yes, yes, story. Yes. I'm not going to listen.
The moral of the story, yes. is that she put in the work.
Right.
She put in the work that she could have taken, you know, she could have taken this road where it's like, okay, I'll just sit back and let life come at me, or I'm going to put in the work and go at it and show my little ones,
wow.
you know, what it takes to being, you know, hardworking, determined, mm-hmm. having a goal, establishing, going after and accomplishing, going above and beyond.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I knew you'd shared with me briefly that, you know, that you'd had a period of homelessness. But I didn't know anything more than that. And there's always a story, right? And it's like, you know, what led up to that? And then how did you move past it? The fact that you made the decision, it didn't just happen to you per se. You made a choice to walk through that because you had the ability to see to the other side and to be patient in those incredibly difficult times of on the bus, off the bus, this library, that library, for days that folded into weeks, that folded into months. And you just kept moving forward. Like, that is so incredibly rare and special. We, you know, our culture doesn't operate that way really now. Mm-hmm. We want what's easy. We want what's immediate. We want that gratification. We want the security of knowing, mm-hmm. oh, okay, I'm going to go camp out at grandma's house because mm-hmm. I know that's safe. That's my safety net. And Keys, your life, I mean, I'm just blown away. Like, what God is going to do with that faith that you stepped out into. I heard somebody say recently that trust is God's love language. Mm-hmm. And that just has stuck with me. And that's like, that's what you did. You walked that out and your kids watched that. And oh my goodness, the example that you set for them, like,
But I think about what Xavier said is how you would lose friends. Like, not everybody's going to understand what you're doing.
Nope.
When you do that, because not, and it kind of triggers their lack of doing something for them sometimes when you're going hard at a thing, when you're focused and when you're doing excellence, and the fact that they're not, it kind of makes them feel bad. So they might attack you. Like they're, for people like family members and people are like, how could you do that to your kids? You're a terrible mom. Like my mom had passed away already. So they're like, your mom would be so ashamed. Like people said all kinds of ridiculous stuff to me because they didn't get it, or because they didn't make a choice that way, or because they're still living at home, or whatever it was, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think in the journey, especially in this industry, there are going to be people who may even be going after the same thing, but not giving their all, you know, who kind of feel like it doesn't take all that, but it does. You can't listen to those voices. If the Lord is leading you to keep going and that to work harder, then you need to do that.
And to trust him. Mm-hmm. That's just like the greatest example of, okay, Lord, I am giving everything to you. I'm surrendering everything to you, which is what he wants us to do. But there's a difference in living it, like knowing it here in your head and then moving it that 18 inches down to your heart and actually living from that place, which you've done. And that, girl, that's like a script right there. That's a movie. Are you kidding?
I know, right?
And for you to go through that, you have to like, you almost have to know, you have to know, no, I wasn't called for this, right? Like, geez, you knew. It's like, no, I'm not called to sit on that couch. And that I'm sure was a result of prayer. That was a result of just like you standing and understanding yourself and who God made you to be.
100%.
And as a result of that, you then made the choice that I have to move forward, right, into this down this uncomfortable path. It's never going to be the easy path. It's never going to be the easy path. It's ever, right? But like, I'm reminded of the, you know, like, I don't know, this is like, this gets memed so much on social media, but the whole concept of like burning the boats, right? I think we underestimate so much, especially here in the US, just our ability as like humans and like what we're actually truly capable of when we genuinely set our mind to. The whole concept of burning your boats, I think, goes all the way back to like the 16th century when Hernan Cortez, he comes into Mexico and he's met by these natives, the Aztecs, and he's like, I'm going to conquer this land. Now, whatever, you know, however you feel about the whole concept of like, you know, Western colonization and whatnot, like just set that aside for a second and just like for a second, just entertain the concept that this conquistador arrives in Mexico saying, we're going to take this land over that no one has been able to. And what does he do? He turns around, he looks at his men and he says, we're not leaving until this is done. Like, this is what the king told us to do. This is what we're going to do. And so he burns all of his boats. He just burns them. And so all of his men are stuck at the shores with their weapons and no boats. There's
no way out.
Nope. There's no way out. There's no going home. There's no easy way out. There's just like, there's nothing that you can do. You burn the boats. And I think that if we're called to anything, we have to have that kind of intensity. If we know that we've been called by God to this, then we have to turn around and we have to burn the boats, because our immediate desire is going to be to find that place of rest, comfort, of like, oh, when is the cavalry coming to save me? When is so-and-so coming to help me? Like we always have that thought process. And it's like, okay, no, the cavalry's not coming. Burn the boats. You are the cavalry. Move forward and do what the king told you to do. And so like, you know, I think that it took him 2 years to finally conquer all of Mexico. But like the point being, you know, not that I'm glorifying conquistadors and like, you know, Western conquest, but like ourselves and our own approach to where we feel that we've been called, where we feel that we're supposed to be functioning. Like if the arts is your thing and you know you're supposed to be functioning in this, then you have to have that mentality, because this industry is built in a way so that it's going to weed out the weak. It's going to weed out the shaft. It's built so that those that just like have a momentary inspiration, they're not going to last. And there's a lot of that. There's a lot of momentary inspiration. There's a lot of time wasted. There's a lot of money lost, you know? And I think in this industry, you have to embrace all of those no's. As actors, for example, you get so many no's that it can tear you down. And those no's are what are making you stronger. Like every single one of those failures, one of those losses, every time that you're turned away or you're rejected, like that's like, okay, am I called for this? You know, and those that continue to step forward as if they never even heard the no, like that keep going, like those are the ones that are going to make it. Those are the ones that are putting in the work, that are making the sacrifices, that are, you know, they're on that road. They're going to get on that bus. And they're going to get, and they're going to go to the next library. And if they get kicked out and they're like, no, you don't belong here, they're going to go to the next one. And it's like, no, you can't come here. They're going to go to the next one because the boats have been burnt. They're not going back. There's no way back. It's only forward. And I think that's excellence. And you bring up a point. Yes. Rest. Absolutely. That's essential. Like God even built rest into our clock. He built Sabbath into our time frame. Like that's essential. Absolutely. He knows that is necessary.
And modeled it. He modeled it.
Right. Modeled it in the heavens and gave it to us as like, as a tabernacle in time for us to enter into. Having said that, sure. Yeah, you need that. But like the moment that you're out of there, you've got those, you know, those six Babylonian days to hustle and put in the work. Anyway.
Well, so a couple of things. I shared a video into the Christian casting community on Facebook. And it was about an actress who said, you know, I did some research and I found that a pretty good average is 64 auditions before you book one. And so she said, I promised myself that just being realistic, just being logical, that if I got to the 64th audition and I hadn't booked anything, I was just beginning. So maybe I would double that. But if after 120, maybe I would recess. But I've always encouraged people to take every single no and put it like a notch on their belt. Like I'm that much closer to my yes. I'm that much closer. And she said that on the 64th, when she booked it, she was so excited. And her, you know, her agent had said, what, you know, a lot of people drop out before then. How'd you hang in there? And she's like, I just figured if that's the average, if that's what people are going to give, then that's what I'm going to give. In fact, I'll double what the average person gives because this is what I want to do. And I think an important part of that is finding your community too, right? So with the Conquistador story, it sort of created this community effort. And it's like, well, if this guy gives up, then this other guy is going to be right behind him, shoving, kicking, screaming, because like, no, we're in this together and you go, because we all go, you know, like where one goes, like the whole team goes. And if one fails, then they all fail. And so I think that finding your tribe is really important. And I think that that's why, you know, in Christian casting in Room 4, why community is such an important element to me. And it's such a necessary oxygen-like element, because if you're doing it truly alone, it's a lot easier to feel burnout. And if you have somebody next to you who's experiencing the same thing, like, hey, what number are you on? Up 37. Cool. Girl, I'm on 42. Let's keep moving. You know, then all of a sudden it's Drew, you use the passing the baton. And I love that analogy where it's like, no, I have the first lap, but I got to hand the baton off, and then they've got to run their self to, you know, to the limits, because then they pass it. And every single person depends on every other person. And it's this team effort, and it's beautiful. And so community is huge to me, not just in the spirit of excellence with, you know, with filmmaking, but in family too. I have found that I need community. You know, they used to say it takes a village to raise a child. And I don't hear that as much anymore. We have found it so easy to hand a child a phone or an iPad or, you know, to disengage. And I guess then it's still a village, but like you said, it's the wrong village, rearing our kids. So I just am super thankful for the community that I have. And if you're listening, you're like, I need that. Please just know that there's literally been a space created for you for that reason. Because
we want to be your community. Hey,
yes, we're here.
And you know what? If you can't find one for some reason, like you try, like make your community.
Make it. True.
You know, it's like, because like community, I don't know, I'm old school, I'm old fashioned. Like I still love that, like the face to face, the connection, mm-hmm. like the having you know, a local actual like place to meeting, to meet. And so just build that.
Absolutely. That.
Like, and it starts with just like, you've got a project idea and you just invite a bunch of friends, you execute that project idea. And then you look at all of those friends and you say, who were assets, you know, and who were distractions. And you then say, okay, this person was awesome. Like, let's say you're starting literally from scratch. Like you're starting from scratch. You're a writer or you're a director or you're an actor, whatever it may be. And you live in like somewhere middle Vermont, middle of the state Vermont. And you're like, there's no one here. Like I've got no community or wherever it is that you are, but you've got this great idea. Take that idea, find the people that are closest to you, execute that idea as best as you possibly can. It's not going to be amazing. Do it on your cell phone, do it, whatever it is that you need to do, like get the information, execute that idea, and then look at the community that you built in order to accomplish that idea and start picking out from that community who actually was a major asset. It's like, hey, this person, like they really came through with all of the costumes. Maybe they could be my costume person. And then start your next idea. And then you weed out the ones that were liabilities. You know, you're like, okay, we're not going to ask them back onto the team. And do that enough times, you know, 10 times, 20 times, just continue executing. You will have built a strong film community around you. Mm-hmm. How do you think Scorsese got started? Like all of those people that he's working with till this day, they're all his mm-hmm. buddies from back in New York. Every right. single one of them. They're all his buddies from New York. Like when he he did Goodfellas, his mom was cooking meals on the sets for De Niro, you know, like so start your community. You can be that next, you know, great director, and you can find that next amazing actor talent that's just in your community. It's just you be the person, you know, burn the boats.
Right. Okay. The teacher in me wants to give you a couple hints how. Okay, first of all, if you're on Facebook, type in your city name and film. I promise you. Mm-hmm. Type it in and then go to the next city over. If you don't find anything, but I bet you will, go to the next city over, go to your county, go to your state's film website. There are literally lists of people sometimes on there. Go to find your most local film school. Like Xavier saying, those are the people that are saying, this is what I want to do with my life. And they want people like you, but people go, oh, anybody. Well, where's your local film school? Have you looked that up yet? Because if not, you have not gone to the library yet, because, and you know what, if you go to the film school and they're like, oh, sorry, we're booked, which they won't. Okay. They need help. We need each other in this community. If they do, then you take your little stair step children and you go to the next library, you know, like you, how bad do you want it? How much do you believe that you were called?
Yeah.
And if we really were called, man, we better stop at nothing.
That's right. Call doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to come to you. Like small little example, when we first moved to this town, you know, we were kind of struggling to find community, find friends, and we were craving that. We were coming out of hardcore COVID season, and we started praying like, Lord, send us friends. And very strongly felt God came back at me with, why don't you be the friend? Why don't you open your home? Because that perfectionism in me was, I can't have people over until I have this certain kind of house that's decorated this certain way. It needs to be so big. It needs to have all these things. And he's like, why don't you just use what you have, what I have given you? Whoever can be trusted with little can be trusted with much. Open your doors. So we started leading small groups in our home. And guess what? We've made friends. But don't be surprised when you start, you know, praying for things. A lot of times God will say, hey, you know, you already have this in you. You already have this ability. Like Xavier said, look at what you have around you and start leaning into that. And you never know, like, what a blessing you're going to be to someone else. And obviously, you know, they'll be a blessing to you, but you know, it goes both ways. So don't underestimate what you already have in you, what you've already been given.
Yeah, there's no beginning that's too small. No, sorry. There's no beginning that's too small. Just take that first step. Like till this day, like when I first started building my local film community in this area, like I'm in a small market. I'm in Boston. It's not LA. It's not New York. It's not Atlanta. But when I started building my tribe, like my parents were a part of the process, you know, like they, until this day, my mom is still working in the costume department, you know? So wow. Like, and that's part of my community. And yes, like I've got individuals that are, you know, in that are part of the community. Like it's expanded absolutely over the X amount of years, but that was the process. It was like, start small, despise not humble beginnings, right? Like start mm-hmm. small, start with, you know, the person that's next to you. It might be your sibling. Till this day, it still is. You know, so, and just build that out and build that out and build that out every day. Just like find a new way to improve, you know, have your postmortems and say what worked, what didn't work, you know, and then eventually you'll get to like what Laura said, that the local film school, then I started calling Emerson, which is, you know, down the street from here. And I'm like, okay, now I want to tap into the students. Then it was, I want to tap into the professors. Then it was like, I want to tap into those that graduated from there. And then it was, I want to tap into the network that's surrounded to them. And it grows that way, mm-hmm. you know? Sorry, Laura, you were about to say something.
No, you're fine. I were actually out of time already, but I just want to say, you know, I had just personally finished a 2-year deep dive into Exodus. And of course, as you know, we're coming out of, or right in the middle of Passover, but by the time the show launches, you know, we'll be out of Passover. And I'm just thinking like, this is literally when the Israelites would have stepped down into Egypt or stepped out of Egypt, right? Out of all of the unknown, even the comfortable and the uncomfortable, they left to step out into the unknown, and they would have just been beginning this 40-year journey in the wilderness. And it's so much like Key's story with, you know, like I chose to take this wilderness journey because that was the way to Canaan. There was no way for me to get to the promised land sitting on that couch. And I think for so many of us, we get into the desert, right? And I love that, you know, the Lord, so many times in scripture, he'll say, I am the God that led you out of Egypt. Like, he's like, don't forget that. Okay. Don't forget that time that I brought you out of Egypt. And all of those who were complaining in the wilderness, he's like, okay, you can die out here. I mean, that's cool. You know, we'll leave it to the next generation. And so how many times do we come to the wilderness?
That's right.
And then he's like, I am bringing you.
That's right.
We are on the road. We are on the way. And then they're so close. And then Joshua and Caleb are like, we got it. Yeah, we can beat them. Right. This is the land God gave us. And then 10 of the other spies were like, nope, giant's too big. Can't do it. So find your Joshua
And Caleb.
Find your resilience. Find your joy.
That's right.
Fine, because, you know, we're always praying, what is the will of God? What is the will of God? And I read this scripture the other day and it just popped at me like neon lights. And it said, of course, now I can't remember the verse exactly, but it was like giving thanks in all things, for this is the will of God. I was like, thanks in all things. And that, like, I want to know God's will for me. Okay, say thank you. Say thank you in the middle of the desert.
Right.
Thank you in the middle of some manna and quail. Thank you. Find a way to be grateful. And so it's just such a cool, because I don't think it's any accident. Like, we're literally in that season right now, that biblical celebration season, where in the Old Testament, it's literally like, hey, he's like, these are my holidays, the Lord says, and we're going to celebrate them forever. And I'm like, that's just cool. So he doesn't want us to forget. I mean, it's not just our
history,
it's not just what happened to them. It's like, the Lord's like, I want you to know that I am your God. The same one who led them out. I will lead you through your wilderness. I will provide what you need in that wilderness. Keys. I'm so happy that you chose to share your story. Thank you a million times.
I know.
That meant more to me. Like, you wrote on my heart such encouragement, inspiration with the life that you chose to live. And it's challenged me in so many ways since. And I'm so excited that it has now challenged our listeners. So we went long, got to wrap up. Stuff. But like, of course we went long on the Excellence Show, but that's because there's so much to it. And we only skim the surface. I mean, there's so much more that each one of us could have said. But thank you guys for sharing your story. And any last tidbits anybody wants to throw in there?
Can I,
this is a blog.
Yes.
Get a blog about Excellence. So when that comes out, make sure there's more info on it.
That's
there.
Right.
And y'all, now you know her story. So you know why this blog is fire. Okay. Now you know the grit and the dedication behind that blog. And it is no accident that the Lord prompted her to be the one to be behind that. So I love it.
Absolutely. I have this morning, and my scripture for the day was Proverbs 3:5. Can I like read this as we close out?
Absolutely. Okay.
It feels so relevant. This is the Message version, y'all. So hang with it. Trust God. Proverbs 3:5, y'all. It says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He is the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to him. Run from evil. Your body will glow with health. Your very bones will vibrate with life. Honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. Your barns will burst. Your wine vats will brim over. But don't, dear friends, resent God's discipline. Don't sulk under his loving correction. It's the child he loves that God corrects. A father's delight is behind all of this. Mm. That's good stuff.
And that correction could be the 40-year wilderness.
Yeah. Sometimes we have to choose the wilderness. Be like Caleb, have a different spirit. Be like Keys, have a different spirit. I'm so proud of you, Keys.
And you know what? They chose to go. I mean, and there were even Egyptians that went with them. They're like, can we hitch a ride? You know? And and they were welcome to go, but it was their choice. I mean, I'm certain that Moses was not strapping every single one of them down. Like, come on. It was like, hey, here's a caravan. You want to hop on or not? Because our end goal, our final scene is Canaan. You want to be a part of that? Then this is the way. So I love
good stuff, y'all.
Well, thank you again for joining us. And until next time, that's the Room 4 recap.
Bye.